June 8th, 2019 session of TeamSpeak for HPSTR. My name is Dave, KV0S, and this week I've been working on editing the videos from three forums at the Hamvention 3 weeks ago. I finally got it working, and so I've got those uploaded. And you can find links to the videos on the video link of OpenHPSDR or on the tangerinesdr.com website, both linked to it. They also can be found on YouTube because that's where I'm storing the image to share. So just thought I'd let you know. Next on the list, we have Mike, AA8K. And he's shown as recording, and he's had a little trouble with his hard disk today, so I hope everything gets recorded properly. Next on the list, we have Phil, VK6PH. Go ahead, Phil.
Good evening, all. Sorry not much to report this week. Very busy work-wise, but it'll slow down a bit in the near future. Still keeping up to date with the emails and bits and pieces, but apart from that, pretty busy on other things at the moment, I'm afraid. Back to you, Dave.
Fine business. And next on the list, we have Scotty, WA2DFI. Go ahead, Scotty.
Hi, Dave. And good afternoon, good evening, everyone. This week, pretty much just been working on the Tangerine SDR. And with a lot of Dave's help and John Ackerman's help and Mike's help, we got the archives up, TeamSpeak archives up, and the website's looking pretty awesome. And just progressing slowly on adding to the specification, figuring out how things are going to work. So I guess that's about it on this end. Back to you, Dave.
Fine business, Scotty. And next on the list, we have Terry, N8AB, shown as recording in a way. And then we have Bob, VE3GKM, shown as recording in a way. And we're missing Bill, but I expect Bill to be gone either by work or it's also a Stanley Cup final. So, or one of the Stanley Cup games. So if he's not at work, he's going to be watching the hockey, I'm sure. So that brings us to the end of the list, and we're open for general discussion.
Hi, David. Did find some time to look at some of the videos you put up. Thanks very much indeed. They're a very good quality. Really appreciate that.
Well, good. I was a little worried. I flubbed Scotty's last video, and I was able to get that fixed. So George had recorded the speaker audio very low, and I had to amplify it quite a bit to make it work. And so there's a little bit of tweedling in the ends and beginnings of people's verbalizing.
No problem. It's pretty good.
Sorry, Scotty, about the one where I left both soundtracks on at the same time. Usually mute one of them.
Yeah, it was pretty exciting listening to it. I thought I was like in an echo chamber, but the echo was very long. Like talking on a satellite.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's one of those things, it's not in a real obvious place, and if I don't think to go and mute it, it was part of my setup routine that I go and mute it before I got into it. And I did find when I cut the video in to splice out something, I had to be sure that I checked both segments that the audio was muted.
Well, in any case, it came out very good. All the quality is exceptional, and the audio is easily understandable. No excessive bass or echoing or anything. So it's a good job.
Yeah, that camera George has is very nice, and it made it easy. And I always had the ambient camera mic as a backfall, but you hear a lot of people talking about where they're going to eat lunch and all that kind of stuff, as opposed to hearing the speaker very clearly.
And hopefully no rude comments about the speakers.
I didn't listen to it that carefully.
I remember one time at the Cat Fancier's annual meeting, what they do is they put microphones in the aisle. So if you want to ask a question to the General Assembly, then you step up to the microphone and you talk. But they, during the break, they left the microphones on, and apparently a couple of board members were standing too close to the mic and saying they shouldn't have that came out on the speakers.
Yeah, speakers can get you, mics get you in trouble. This is the first time I've used YouTube as a place to put the video, and I thought I wouldn't fill up your... For the OpenHPSDR, I do generally put the videos online here. So for all the stuff that's in the OpenHPSDR video, I still have a MP4 of everything on my computer. So that goes all the way back to 2008.
Oh, wow. How big is that?
Oh, it's big, but it's not too bad. I store it in a corner of my hard disk. Spinning hard disks can be pretty cheap.
Oh, yeah, but we all know spinning hard disks don't have corners because they're round.
Yeah, you're right.
Sorry, I had to be a smart aleck. Anyway, John says he thinks we have at least 50 gig of storage, which is kind of small, I guess, but because we're sharing it with all the other tappers. Probably just as well, although Mark claims that we have a Tapper YouTube channel, but I'm not sure how to get to it or how to log in or anything like that. So is there a limit to how much you can store on your channel?
Not anywhere near what I'm doing. I mean, if I was doing what I'm doing every week, they might get mad at me, but I do that maybe once a year or twice a year, so I think there won't be any problem.
Yeah, it looks like they're about 750 meg each, so I'm thinking of the document. I mean, I don't think the videos are that big.
Yeah, my videos were, the size that the YouTube reports is 2 gig.
So 2 gig for each one or for the whole thing?
For each one.
Oh, okay. So you got about 12 gig there, a little more.
Yeah, I kind of ran into my upload limit, so I had to find alternative places to upload.
So is that your ISP imposes an upload limit on you?
If I do a whole bunch of very short period of time.
Well, then what do they accuse you of, sharing pirate videos or something?
I guess so. I don't know. But it's set up well if you want to only upload one video a week, that works. But if you're doing a whole batch like we had from Dayton, you have to be creative.
So how do you be creative? Put them on a thumb drive and take them to work?
Something like
that. Yeah, okay. So just use your buddy's ISP, you know, different IP addresses.
Witten offered to put some up too if I haven't had to use that one yet.
Oh, okay. Well, sounds good though. They're all done. They all look good. It's done. That's like record time.
Yeah, I figure most people are anxious if they didn't go to Dayton and see that. I did see something that showed the old Hera got clobbered by that tornado a week after we were there.
Yeah. I can send you a link of a video of a girl that went over the old Hera arena and looked inside and looked over the roof and everything from an aerial perspective. I can paste that down in here if you're interested.
Yes, please do.
Okay, I got to go find it. Hold on.
That'll probably definitely put the nick off an old Hera.
Yeah, I think that place is done for.
Hey, folks, I'll just say hello while there's a lull here. I just ended up working all last weekend, so it read a little late today, so nothing to report, but hello all.
Well, Bill, I accused you of either being at work or getting ready to watch a hockey.
No, I was at work. We did a Death March code push starting Friday, and I think I worked 3 15-hour days from Friday to Sunday, and we jammed about 2 weeks of work into 3 days.
That doesn't sound. Hopefully you'll have a little downtime right later this month.
No, the reason for the push, we finally went live to customers on Tuesday or Wednesday, and it's been immediately grabbed by, hey, it's interesting, people like it, but there's problems, go deal with them.
So it's tickets and repair this, repair that.
Something like that, or I guess the phrase we use is the customer impacting event, so I've had enough of CIEs for the last couple days.
Oh, isn't the software business fun?
No.
There's a link for you, Dave.
Thanks. Bill, this is a link to the old Hera Arena after the tornado that came by Dayton a week after this year's Hamvention. We were not using this arena, but it was on the other side of town and got hit by the tornado.
Yeah, this is actually a link to the Dayton Daily News article, and the feature picture at the top is a video of a drone, so you can click on that and watch it. It's pretty cool. If you look closely, you can probably find your old booth space because the roof's gone.
Now, had the Hera Arena been, was it being used? Pretty much dormant these days.
It hasn't been used in like 3 years. The see, this was this year, 19, 18, and 17 were all done at Greene County Fairgrounds. So May 16 was the last invention that was at Hera.
No, but has anybody else used Hera for any, had it pretty much been dead from then on, or, you know, from days when Hamvention left?
What I understand, we were the last venue, and the thing got basically locked up for back taxes and sold off. And nothing's been there since Hamvention.
This is Mother Nature doing eventual demolition.
Yeah, just doing what should have been done years ago.
It's pretty amazing.
There's one story here below the article you sent, Scotty. Hera owners hopeful arena can be saved for future buyer.
Oh, really? I didn't see that.
Well, we used to worry about getting in. I don't think you'd have any problem getting in now.
Yeah, really, walk right in.
Must have been quite a storm.
That was that one storm system. When we were driving back from there, were a couple of storms in Illinois, and then we had some storms here in Missouri the weekend, or during the week after Dayton, and they were going from Texas up to here and then out to Ohio, and there were tornadoes all through that whole section.
At the time I was thinking, those storms only made it down into North Texas, and that lasted for 3 or 4 days, where there always seemed to be a big line of storms crossing over, but all from, you know, North Texas up towards Midwest, I guess, and or northern Midwest, and there's a big high pressure sitting over like Georgia, which blocked all that bad weather from Austin.
Yep. That's the whole system ran for quite a few days, actually about 2 weeks. Well, Scotty, what I hear is a bunch of new single board computers are coming out in the next week or two.
Oh, all from the same manufacturer or different ones?
Different ones. Dave sent me some that are supposed to be out in a week or so, maybe two. And then he keeps telling me that there will be, NVIDIA will be putting out their new version of their Nano, which basically I think is the same, but it'll have some memory built in. The board that they've been selling has the pinholes in the board, but there was no socket for eMMC memory.
Yeah, so it's going to have an eMMC disk instead of booting from SDHC card.
Yes, and so it's going to be their new standard version, but they've kept it really mum about what's going to be on the board.
Yeah, wasn't it going to have, there were a couple other minor changes too, I think, but David said those were, the eMMC was the biggest one.
Yep, and then I did get some information about, let me look it up and I'll put a link.
Okay, yeah, because there was a kind of a dry spell there for a while when it wasn't really much new coming down the pike. So this is they've all been working on them, and now it's time to release them. So it'll be interesting to see what they come up with as far as new processors.
The one I just put up is a link to a Pine 64 Rock Pro. So that's those. The naming is very confusing, but you should understand what I mean.
But that's not a new processor. I thought that there was a Rock Pro already. Just a newer variant of it.
Yeah, more peripherals.
Oh, okay. Looks like more USB-C stuff. Oh, and an edge connector. So it can act as a SOM then.
Yeah, so these might be useful in some of the things we're trying to work on.
Take a look and see what's on this edge connector. You know, I know Dave's been suggesting that we use a SOM and plug it in, and I've been resisting because it really ties you into one single board computer when you do that. But this looks like a biggie here.
Well, we've had some discussions about this. Just saying be open about it, he didn't mean to say that we should only do that. It just think about different options. But I thought this other one, Vim, which is kind of like a pun, the editor and on a kind of attachable peripheral.
Yeah, Vim ought to be really confusing. So the S922X, that's the same processor as the Odroid N2, isn't it?
Yes, it is. That second one I put up is basically an Odroid-type machine.
I love it. They got a countdown timer on.
Yeah, these guys are launching, and the Vim one is June 24 for their Vim 3.
Oh, this is interesting. It has PCIe. Which the N2 does not.
Yes, and USB 3. I think, didn't it have USB 3 on the 2?
Yes, it did. It does. But no PCIe, so that's interesting. So I wonder if they use the PCIe for an M2 card or if they use it as a separate plug-in.
I don't know, but we'll find out, I guess.
Yeah, okay. And the regular version is $69, so they're still keeping it down well below $100 for the base version.
Yep.
Oh, it has onboard 32 gig of eMMC storage.
That's good.
Yeah, it does have an M.2 slot for NVMe SSDs that can use PCIe. So that's what they're using it for. I didn't see a PCIe bus on there, but that means the hard disk will be blazingly fast.
Yeah, it looks like a single lane. Is that right?
I haven't got that far down yet. It just says PCIe. I'll keep looking.
There's a spec table partway down the page.
Yep, it does say single lane.
Phil has always told us we need four.
Well, I'm in a number two, but four's nice.
The PCIe 2.0, that's 3.5 gig, right?
From memory, yep, that's right.
And then PCIe 3 is 5 gig, right?
Yep.
Okay. This is PCIe 2, so 3.5 gig single lane. So it won't be quite as fast as my Dell here. My Dell has a 4 lane.
Well, it's pretty good for $100.
Yeah, for $69 for the base model. Of course, that might not have the PCIe on it.
Were you saying something to me, Dave? I stepped away for a second. I heard my name.
No, we were talking about these single board computers that are supposedly coming out this month.